Mr. Lemberg has yahrzeit today for his mother, so we dedicate the shir Leilu Nishmasa Sora Rochel Basachov Rab Yankiv. We left off on Ayin Zayin on the base. The Gemara had presented a machlekes Rab Yechon and Mishlokish regarding the hekish between Tvacha and Mechara. The Gemara earlier quoted this hekish, the Tanoim Darshan the hekish. But Tvacha and Mechara, the two are written one next to the other. So the Gemara before said that you need Mechira Kuloi, just like you need Tvicha Kuloi. So here there was a machlekes Rab Yechon and Mishlokish, how far do you go with the hekish? So Mishlokish apparently thinks that ain't hekish lemachza, it goes all the way. So he darshans, kol sheyeshtem betvicha yeshtem in mechira, kol sheyeinu betvicha einu b'mechira. The only time you chayv on tovach is if you could have been chayv on mochar. The only time you chayv on mochar is if the animal lends itself to have a chiyuv on tovach. So Tosis points out, tovach b'shabbos is potter because kamla b'dirabminei. So you're going to say mochar b'shabbos is potter because tovach b'shabbos is potter. No. Tovach b'Shabbos is potter because kamlai b'derabim, but the animal lends itself to tovach. If he would have been tovach b'chol, whenever the shorva said, whenever the animal lends itself to tovach, sometimes, then it lends itself to a chi of mocha. Whenever the animal sometimes lends itself to mocha, it doesn't always have to be mocha. Whenever this behem, it can sometimes be mocha, then you'd be chayv on tovach. So Rish Lakish had this chiddush, and we don't accept his opinion. Rish Lakish had a chiddush that If you shecht a behemas kochim, you cannot be chayiv on tovach, because behemas kochim simply doesn't lend itself to mocha, because kochim are mama gavaya. If one could assume like that, the three way machlekes hatanaim kiddush in the end of the second parak. One tana holds that all karbonas are mama bailam, you can be mekadosh and isha. One time holds it all called the Chachamah, holds it all called Baranus Amam and Gavoya. Rabbi Yosef Glili makes a compromise that Kachim Kalim is Mom and Bailim and Kachim is Mom and Gavoya. And then on Daf Yud Gimel in the first parak of Baba Kama, there are several variations, maybe there are more than three variations within Rabbi Yosef Glili. What exactly did he say? Which Kachim Kalim yes and which no? Three different versions. But on the assumption that Korbanus Amam and Gavoya, they simply don't lend themselves to mechir at all. So it's loinit on the hayom. You cannot have a chi of mochar on korbanos. Then there wouldn't be a chi of tovach on korbanos either. What do you mean? You can't have a chi of mochar on korbanos, but whenever the ganav sells, it's not chal. The ganav ain't in the mochar dovish ain't a shaloi. So one opinion held before, we don't accept like that. One opinion held before that the ganav is only chayiv on mochar if ahanu maisov, if he sells lacha yish. That's on the assumption the yush alone, the yush kedi is loikani. If he owed yush is koinis, alacha yush alone, tavech is alone, mocher. So bedavki, he would not be chayv lacha yush. On the assumption that we assume that yush kedi loikani, so then there was a machlokes amaroim. One amor was of the opinion that the only time the ganef is chayv dalavehe is if mocher laachar yush. So you have yush v'shinu v'shu, so it's a hanam ice of the mechir eschal. We don't pask like that. We pask on that even if mochar before yush, and it's loy hanam ice of, also the ganaf is chayiv dalet vehei. So that was the shayla over here. So what does Rish Lakish say that the korbanos amama gavoya, so therefore they don't lend themselves to mechir, so therefore the ganaf would, if the ganaf would sell the korbanos, it wouldn't be chayiv dalet vehei. So therefore, if he's tovach, he's also not chayv because you have a hekish called sheyeshna b'mechira, yeshna b'tficha. Why, if the ganav sells, he's not chayv? Because the sale is not chal. The sale is never chal. It's always loy hanamaisav. The ganav is selling dovashen ishaloy, ain't in the mocha dovashen ishaloy. So we understood in the Gemara, no, it's different over here. The ganav can't sell because ain't in the mocha dovashen ishaloy, but I'll call upon him the animal lends, but the hemas chulin, the animal lends itself to mechira. The bailim would be able to sell. It happens under these circumstances, the bailim can't sell because ain't in b'shusa. We pass like Rish Lakish, like Rabbi Yechanan. In order to be able to sell, in order to be a full bailim, to have the ability to sell, it has to be shaloy b'shusa. If it's shaloy ain't in b'shusa, Gozov la nasi ashla bailim, shneim ein lachodim lahagdisha. Zelef ish ein b'shusa, it's ein b'shusa. But I call upon him, the animal lends itself to mechira. If it's a behem aschulen, the behem lends itself to mechira. If it would become back b'shusa, then the bailim would be able to sell it. Mashenikim, by Karbanis, if the Mama Gavayas, that simply doesn't lend itself to Mechir at all. So that's where Ish Lakish holds that there's a hekesh between Tovach and Machar, that if you have Bizarre Karbanis, if you have Behemoth Karbanis, if you have Karbanis, Kachim is Beach, that they don't lend themselves to Mechir at all. So the Ganef who would sell wouldn't be Chayb Dalad Behei, and the Mele, if the Ganef would Shecht, it wouldn't be Chayb Dalad Behei either. And Ish Lakish held the same regarding the Ganef who sells Behemoth Trefa. If the Ganef shechts behemah treifa, shechtim behemah treifa is a shechita shein ruin. And that's one of the three cases in the Mishnah. The original machlok is between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon regarding shechita shein ruin. Shechita shein ruin lav shma shechita. Machlok is satanayim. So we pass the shechita shein ruin if he shecht the treifa is shma shechita. It has a din shchita. It's not mata b'achil, but it has a din shchita for os v'ezmano. It has a din shchita for kisi adam purposes, and it has also a din shchita b'negiah to daladehei. But the shaila was ali, but the Reb Shimon, he holds in all the mishnayos that shchita sheni ruya lav shma shchita. The one exception to the rule is that if you shecht the treifa, it's metar medein avela. But Tosis had another exception to the rule if you do shchut yechutz. Okay, a few more. But the famous exception to the rule was if you shecht the treif, it's mitame deinevela. But if you shecht shor vaseh, and it's a treifa, you would not be chayv dalad hekel. Shchita sheni ruya lav shma shchita. So what would Reb Shimon say if the ganef would sell the behema treifa? So that's a machlek zadiach and Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish holds from his hekesh, kol sheine betviche eina b'mechira, kol sheine before, first it said kol sheine b'mechira eina b'tviche. By the behemas kachim, and here he says kol sheina b'tvicha eina b'mechira. So if you sell a behema treifa, shor v'seh treifa aliba de Reb Shimon, we don't pass like Reb Shimon. If one would have held like Reb Shimon, what would the din have been if he would sell the behema treifa? So that was the machlek Rabbi Yechonah Reish Lakish. So the Gemara quoted that brisa. Rabbi Yechonah quoted that brisa that seems to indicate against Reish Lakish, and that's how we assume against Reish Lakish. So then Derech Agav, he quoted that brisa. So that brisa opened up a new story. The brisa says that the din of Davidah even applies to a kilayim. What kind of a kilayim? What does it mean a kilayim between a shorva seh? That's physically impossible based on anatomy. The Gemara assumes. Rashi explains why. Because the ibur is different, the pregnancy is different. This is a 9-month pregnancy, and this is a 5-month pregnancy. A behema is a behema gasa, a shor. A shor is behema gasa, and it says behema daka. So behema gasa has a 9-month pregnancy. Behema daka has a 5-month pregnancy. So they're not misabrims echad ben asheri. So they can't have an ibur one with the other. So what are we talking about when we're talking about? A shorva said that a kalim, not kalim with each other, a shor which is kalim with some other animal, and a seh which is kalim with some other animal. What kind of another animal is it? What, a shor had a vlad from a non-kosher animal? No, the other one has to be kosher. Because that's another gemara. That's the gemara over here that a kosher and a non-kosher can't mate together. That's on the bottom of Ayin Ches Amid Aleph, on the last line, at the Tahorim Mitameh Mimi Ebra. The Gemara says that that's physically impossible. That's a long arichas and chayrus. That a behema Torah, behema Temeh cannot have a vlad together. That's relevant halacha lamaisa as far as we're concerned, because the Shach in Yoredeya writes a minik that the Shach records a minik that you only eat an animal if you have a masor that the animal is kosher. Nikaradin, there is no such halacha. The Chumash says, you check to see if it's malager, mafris, parson, shai. The same as by fish. By fish, you check to see if it has a snap of a kaskesis. It's not shach to require a masorah by fish. There are tens of thousands of fish in the world, so it's not shach to have a masorah on all of these fish. Who's going to remember all the fish in the world? There's so many different kinds of fish. So the Rishayim say explicitly, by fish you don't need a masorah. They all quote the tshuva by the Rosh's son. There's a collection of tshuvas not by the Tur. Tur had a brother. Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh. He writes in his tshuva, all the poskim quoted that you don't need a masor by fish. You just have to see whether it has snap of the kaskesis and then it's kosher. By birds, the Ramon and Yerudea quotes that by he quotes from Rashi. Rashi in his commentary on the Gemara in Chulin and Eilu Treifus, Rashi recommends that one should only eat a bird if you have a masor that the bird is kosher, even though there are simonim to establish. The Gemara has a whole sugya. Gemara tells you what the four simonim are to establish that any given bird is a kosher bird. So Rashi says that based on the Gemara, that the Gemara tells a story that they once, the Amoraim once permitted eating a certain bird, and then a little while went by, a long while, a little while, short while, whatever, and they found out that they were eating a non-kosher bird. They found out that they ascertained it, they determined improperly that it had an Etzbe Yisera, or a Kukavana Niklaf, whatever the four simonim are over there, in order to establish that the bird is kosher. So if the Amoroi made a mistake in establishing whether it had the four simonim Tara, so we can certainly make a mistake. So Rashi recommends, and that's what the Ramah quotes, that's the minig by Ashkenazim. Mechaba doesn't have such a minig, but the Ramah has, you only eat a bird if you have a masur. That's the issue with the turkey. When the turkey came to Europe, they never had a masor on the turkey. So the Shach writes in one place in Yeridaya that we only eat an animal. There are different simonim by birds, and different simonim by fish, and different simonim by animals. So animals is easy enough. What's so difficult to determine whether it's malager, mafis, paras? Animals, it is a little bit difficult. It is a little bit difficult. There was an animal that for over 100 years was assumed that it was malagueiro. Some kind of an animal in the Brazilian jungles, and in the books on anatomy, whatever, biology, whatever you call it, animal biology, they were assuming that it was malagueiro. And then within the last 10 years, they had an international conference of all of the zoologists, or whatever you call them, and they came to the realization that they made a mistake, that the animal was not a malagueiro. Malagueiro does mean... It doesn't mean a person chews chewing gum all the time. So that's in Yiddish, you call them a malagera. But that's not called malagera. Malagera is if the food goes down to the stomach, then it comes back up. The animal chews, goes down again to the stomach, then it comes back up. The animal is always chewing. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's malagera. It's always chewing chewing gum. It doesn't mean anything. Malagera means that the food comes up from the stomach and it goes down. Some human beings have such a condition that the food comes up again. It's a very uncomfortable condition to have. So if the zoologist made such a mistake, so maybe we shouldn't have such a chumrah that you shouldn't eat an animal based on your own determining that it has malager mafis parso. Maybe you can make a mistake, just like all the world's experts made a mistake for 100 years. So there is room for such a chumrah. So the Shach writes in one place that we only eat animals if we have a masur. That's the question exactly how to read that Shach. So the Shach is printed in the Siman, where the Shulchan Aruch distinguishes between a behema and a chaya. There are, biologically, there's a difference between a behema and a chaya. The Gemara gives you rules and regulations how to determine whether any given animal is a behema or a chaya. What's a nafkamina? L'may nafkamina lahalacha. So there's one nafkamina for osavi esbeno, that the prohibition of shechting osavi esbeno only applies to behemas, doesn't apply to chayas. Another nafkamina is for kise adam. Kise adam only applies to a chaya, not to a behema. Chai the oaf doesn't apply to behema. Behema doesn't need kisi adam. And the third nafkamina, which is the most important nafkamina, is regarding the chelav. The chelav of a chai is muta. The chelav of a behema has an isa kari. So that's quite a significant nafkamina. So the simple reading of the Shach is that it's hard to determine one of the ways to determine whether the animal is a behema or a chaya is if you investigate the horns that it has. That sometimes the horns indicate that it's a behema, sometimes the horns indicate that it's a chaya. So the Shach lived in the city, he didn't live on a farm. So sometimes it's very hard for rabbis, most of the rabbis do not live on farms today. So it's very hard to know whether any given animal is a behema or a chaya. So the Shach sounds like he says you only eat chelav of an animal that you determine that it's a chaya. A deer you can eat the whole chelav. There's no need to remove the chelav in a deer. All the chelav is muta. So what if you have another animal, a buffalo? Shulchan Aruch says that a buffalo is a kui, and a kui is a sofik behemah, sofik chaya. So we're not sure. The buffalo that we're talking about in America is not the same buffalo that they had in Europe, and it's not necessarily the same buffalo that they had in the days of the Rishonim. What they call buffalo, what they call in Europe buffalo, what we call buffalo are probably three different animals. The only thing that has in common is the name buffalo. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Bali HaTaisus that the buffalo is a Sofik Chai, Sofik Behem. Yeah. So what if you have an animal and you think that that's a chaya and the chaylev should be mutter? So that's what the shach, the simple reading of the shach perhaps is, that you shouldn't eat the chaylev of such an animal, assuming that it's a chaya, unless you have a tradition, a clear-cut tradition that this from earlier generations, from Talmid HaChamim, that this animal is a chaya, so you know that the chaylev chaya is mutter. But to say you shouldn't eat an animal, period. You shouldn't shecht an animal and eat, forget about the chaylev, you shouldn't eat the flesh of the animal. Unless you have a tradition that this animal is kosher, that's a question whether the shach really meant to say that. So that's what the Chachma Sodom writes. The Chachma Sodom lived in Vilna. And he says that the shach writes that you shouldn't eat any animal unless you have a tradition that the animal is kosher. In other words, you shouldn't rely on the simonim of Malager and Mafris Parsa. You can understand why. If all the world's expert zoologists made a mistake for over 100 years, they thought that animal in the Brazilian jungles was a malagueira. It really isn't, so we can understand why. So that's a question. Many say the Chochmas Sodom made a mistake. That's not what the Shach said. But the Chochmas Sodom lived in Vilna. And the Shach lived in Vilna. See? And he claims that that's the minik. The Shach is recording a minik. That's a shailus. If this was the big issue in the beginning, right after Hakamas HaMedina, there was a big issue. They wanted to shecht the zebu animals. They wanted to shecht an animal that they got from South America that it seems to be a kosher animal. It produces milk and it doesn't need so much water. It's good for a very hot climate. It doesn't need to drink so much water like a cow does. These zebus, like a camel. A camel only has to drink water once, and then it has enough water for 3 days. You don't have to keep on giving it water. So in South America, they have such an animal that's a zebu. The only thing is that the milk is not so gewaldic. So after many years, they figured out exactly how to make a blend between a zebu and a cow, so it has the best of the milus of both. So it has the best milk. It has milk like a gewaldic cow. And it doesn't need so much liquid, doesn't have to drink so much water like the zebu. So after many years, they determined that these two can be mated together, the zebu and the cow. It's physically possible. It's an avera. You're not allowed to do it. It's a kilai behema. A farmer's not allowed to do it. But Nochrim did it. The goyim did it. And it turns out that's a good a 5/8 one and 3/8 the other one when they breed them together. And that's the best combination you can have. So in the early 1950s, a few years after Hakamas HaMedina, they wanted to import these zebus. In the beginning, the story was in the days of the Chazon Ish, they wanted to import them into Eretz Yisrael. When the Chazon Ish died, 1954 or something, I think. So they wanted to import them into Eretz Yisrael. And the Chazon Ish taina that the Litvaks are not allowed to eat these things. The Galatiana cat. And the Hungarians can. But the Litvaks usually follow all of the minhagim that appear in the Chochmas Sodom. Chochmas Sodom lived in Lithuania. So the Chochmas Sodom understood the Shach is saying that the Litva in Vilna, in Lithuania, they had such a meaning not to eat an animal unless you have a tradition on it. Yeah, so at that time it was a big issue. So Chief Rabbi Herzog ascertained that there was a tradition that the religious Jews who lived in India did eat the zebu. So the Chazon Ish said that's not enough. You have to have Talmid HaChamim should endorse the minig. And they were religious balabatim in India, but there were no Talmid HaChamim there. So he said he doesn't think that that's acceptable. Yet by now, they made a big stir about 3 years ago, all over again, the whole Chagigah all over again. And then they came to the realization that if you can breed these two together, if you can breed together a cow with a zebu, and a cow we have a masorah, we have a tradition on cow that it's kosher. So the Gemara says a rule that the Torah mitmei may be ebra. So if the zebu with the cow can give off, can have lotus together, so that's a clear indication that the zebu is a min tohor. So the masorah that you have on the cow carries over on the zebu. So it's important to know this fact. could be that one is a chai, one is a behemah. I don't know. That's possible. A chai and a behemah can mate together. The Gemara says that a koi is a breed between a chaya and a behema, and that's why it's a question, what's the status of a kui? The Gemara said there are two kinds of kui. Sometimes the father is a behema and the mother is a chaya. Sometimes the father is a chaya, the mother is a behema. Even though the vlad is going to be 50-50, but still the Gemara has in Chulin long discussions about this, There is a machlokes by the choshishim lezera ha'avanat, by a Jewish family where the father and the mother are both Jewish. So of course choshishim lezera ha'av. The father determines whether the baby is going to be a kohen, a levi, or a yisrael, a shevet binyamin, a shevet yisachar. The pasuk says lemishpachosam, leveisavosam, mishpachasav kriy mishpacha, mishpachasei meni kriy mishpacha. The father determines what shevet the child is going to belong to. So by human beings, we for sure say choshishim lezera ha'av. And by non-Jews, for sure, the Gemara says, if you have a Chinaman marries a French girl, or a Japanese girl marries a British boy, so the Gemara says, the status of the child is determined by the father, not by the mother. These four cases doesn't make a difference, whether the child is French, a British, Chinese, or Japanese. But let's say one of them is one of the Zainumas, and one is an Amaleki, or one of the parents is Mitzri ve'adoimi. So then it is relevant. Who determines the status of the child? So the Gemara learns out from that pasuk, lemishpachosim leveis avosim. That's what the Rishonim say. The Gemara never says what the makor is, but the Rishonim say. From the same pasuk we established that v'lumas halach achar azocha, the father determines the status of the children. So that's both by whether both parents are Jewish or whether both parents are non-Jewish, the father determines the status of the child. By behemoth, so that's a machlokes hatanoim, whether choshishim lezera hav or ain't choshishim lezera hav. Does the father have any input in establishing the status of the vlad, or do you say the father has no input at all? Everything is determined by the mother. So the Gemara says you can have two, a kui and a kuya, they're both 50-50 behema chaya, and one is alpidina behema, one is alpidina chaya. If you hold that the father plays no role at all, ain't choshishim lezera hav, only the mother. So in one case, let's say the mother was a behemoth, the father was a chai. The other case, fakir, the mother was a chai, the father's a behemoth. So even though they're both vladis, this is a kui, a female kui and a male kui, the both vladis look exactly alike, but still the Gemara says the one whose mother was a behemoth and the other one, the mother was a chaya, so this is a behemoth and that's a chaya, and you're not allowed to mate them together. The odiki line. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara, but the choshishim is er ha'av. Or not. So that is possible. Behem and Achaya can be Mesabim Zemizeh. It is possible. A kosher and a non-kosher, the Gemara says that's a fact of biology. That's impossible. And the same thing, Behem Agasa, Behem Adaka, even if they're both kosher, or they're both Tmeyah, they cannot be Mesabim Zemizeh because the Ibur is different. In one case, the Ibur is a 9-month pregnancy, the other case, the Ibur is a 5-month pregnancy. So the Gemara quotes this brisa that by Achidish, that by an animal which is kilayim, it's a kilayim shor in another animal, and it's said in a different animal, shor in another behemah gasa and said with another behemah dako, it would be a din of dalet vehe. The Minchas Chinuch points out that the Gemara says in Chulin, if you have an animal that's half behemah, an animal that's a kilayim, it's a half behemah and half chayah. An animal which is a half behemah, half chayah. How is it possible half behemah, half chayah? If you assume choshishim lezerahav, if you hold ein choshishim lezerahav, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch that it's a sveik edina. The three opinions in the Tanoim. One opinion is yes, no, and one opinion yes, one opinion no, and the third opinion maybe. Yes, no, maybe. Three sheets. We paskin maybe. So if you have an animal which is the father is a behemah and the mother is a chayah, or the reverse, the father is a chayah, the mother is a behemah. So that's a sveikah d'dina, whether choshishin l'zerahav or ain choshishin l'zerahav. So that's a safek. So the Gemara says, if the din would be that choshishin l'zerahav, if one would assume for sure that yes, then you have a vlad, that would be a half behema, half chaya. So what would be the din regarding the chaylev? What are you going to say? That half of the chaylev is also, half of the chaylev is mutter. Which half of the chaylev is going to be also? So you have no choice. You have to ask all the chaylev. Would you get malchus if you eat the chaylev? Maybe there's no malchus. Would there be a din of kisi adam? Yeah, there's a din of kisi adam because it's a half chaya. Half behema, because of the half behema, you would need kisi adam, but it's not a half chaya. So you need kisi adam. So you got to do kisi adam anyway. But would there be a bracha? I don't know. That's a shaylev. That's a good shaylev. I don't remember. But the Gemara says, "Benegeit to matonis, zrolach hayayim hakeva." The mitzvah to give, if you shech the behema, you have to give zrolach hayayim hakeva to the kohanim. That only applies if you shech the behema. If you shech the chaya, there is no mitzvah to give zrolach hayayim hakeva. Yeah, how come we never give zrolach hayayim hakeva? We We never give it, even by Vada Behemoth. So the answer is, we rely on Rashi, who claims in Brachas and Chulin and different Masechtos and Megillah. Rashi claims that there's a Tana, Rashi interprets in the Gemara, that the Gemara is saying that we rely on the opinion of the Tana, the minority opinion of the Tana, that the mitzvah of Matanas, Zerol HaYem HaKev, only applies in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply in Chutzlot. It's not from the mitzvahs HaTliz Bar, it's not from the agricultural mitzvahs. But nonetheless, one Tana learns out of Drasha from the Pasuk that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the meaning. Problem is that when the Jews moved back to Eretz Yisrael, they didn't give Zerol HaYem HaKev then either. So what's going on? Why don't they give? That was a good teretz as long as we live in the Chutzlot. How come they still don't give Zohar L'chayam HaKev? So the Maisa, what they often do is they make either a Shutfas Akum in the slaughterhouse. If you have a Shutfas Akum, so you're potter from giving Zohar L'chayam HaKev. Or if you have a Shutfas with a Kayin. Who wants to have a Shutfas with a Nachri? Who wants to go into business with a Nachri? So if you have a Shutfas with a Kayin, if you find an honest Kayin to use as your Shutf, so if you have a Shutfas with a Kayin, so also you're potter from Zohar L'chayam HaKev. So in Chutz Lord, they never gave Zohar L'chayim HaKeva because they relied on Rashi, who says we rely on that Tana, who says that it doesn't apply to Chutz Lord. And they came to Eretz Yisrael, so there's no more Terutzim over there, a Pasuk in the Chumash. So they made a Shutfas Akuma, they made a Shutfas with a Kayan in order to relieve themselves. Is that right? It's not right. So why do you go out of your way to pat yourself from a mitzvah? If you happen to be, based my brother-in-law is a Kayan, whatever, and I want to go into business with my brother, okay. But to Dafke go look for, put an advertisement in the newspaper, I'm looking for a client to become a shutter for my business in order to be potter for Zerol HaChayim HaKev. So that's not right. You're not supposed to do a harama in order to be potter. So that's a problem. Okay, that's a problem. So the Gemara says, with respect to Zerol HaChayim HaKev, let's say if you have an animal which is a half chay, a half behemah, how is that physically possible? The father and the mother, one was a chaya, one was a behemah, and you assume choshishim lezera ha'av. So the vlad is going to be half chaya, half behemah, because each one of the parents gives over, biologically, they certainly give over the properties. The question is, alpidin, whether the vlad is only nikval shem imo, or you say choshishim lezera ha'av. So the Gemara says there in Chulin that if you all choshishim lezera ha'av, and the vlad is a half chaya, half behemah, you only give half of the matnas kuhuna. You don't say that since it's a half behemah, so you have to give all the matanis. No, the matanis, the animal through and through is half behemah, half chaya. By kisei adam, you can't say. What are you going to say? You only do kisei adam and half the dam. You do kisei adam on everything. I don't remember what you said, brocha. You got to look. This time you do say brocha. I don't think it's different. But and by chaylev, you can't split. Maybe there's no malchus by the chela, but by the zrala hayayim akeva, that's a shal of dini maminis. So the Gemara says you only pay half. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch raises a possibility. He thinks that here, if you have a kilayim, this price is quoted lahalacha in the Rambam. If you have a shor baseh, shor is a kilayim with another behema, gasa. And the seh is a kilayim with another behema, dakom. So the din is that there is a chi of dalavahe, but the chor dalavahe is only on shor baseh. It doesn't apply to other behemah tohira. So maybe the ganav would only pay half dalad behemah. That means only chayv half dalad behemah. Either a din dalad behemah amar achmanu v'lo beis v'gimel. V'lo beis v'gimel. No, that goes in a different case. V'lo beis v'gimel. So, why shouldn't it knock off this case? How can you say that it's chayv half dalad behemah? What happened to the din of dalad behemah v'lo beis v'gimel? No, that's a different word, v'lo beis v'gimel. You only chayv dalad behemah if you chayv to pay kefal. If for some reason or another you potter from kefal, so dalad behemah is an additional penalty, additional knas on top of the carrot in the kefal. If you're not chayv kefal, then you're not chayv dalad behemah. But there is a possibility that you only pay half dalad behemah. That's what the Minchas Chinuch suggests. So that was a brisa. The brisa was quoted in the middle of the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan v'Shlokish and Ein Zayin Amud Beis. We pasken like Rabbi Yochanan. Whenever there's a Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan v'Shlokish, the Gemara says in the first daf in Perek Acholitz, in the middle of Yevamos, Rabbi makes a statement. Whenever there's Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan v'Shlokish, we always pasken like Rabbi Yochanan, with three exceptions to the rule, but we pasken like Rabbi Shlokish. Here for sure we should pasken like Rabbi Yochanan. He quotes a brisa it seems to support his position. So in that brisa that Rabbi Yechanan quoted, Es Rabbi Yechanan Reish Lakish, we pass him like that brisa. Brisa throws in another chiddush that the ganef is chayv dalat behei on a behei maskilayim. So the Gemara says, how come? What happened to the binyan av of Rava? What is the binyan av? Rabbi Shmuel loy mebishloshes miras haturned reshes bem. That's before Baruch Shama. So it says that's a brisa that appears in the beginning. That's the opening brisa in the beginning of the Torah's Kohanim. That's why half of the Rishonim have the gears of Echan Shnei Ksuvim Akhishim Zezeh. Instead of Echen Shnei Ksuvim, they have in parentheses Vechan. Half of the Rishonim have the gears of Echan, means the opening pasuk in Vayikra is an example of Shnei Ksuvim Akhishim Zezeh. It says Vayidaber Hashem, what does it say? Vayikra Hashem al Moshe. Vayikra Hashem al Moshe. Beginning of Vayikra. Vayikra Hashem al Moshe. There's another pasuk that says that the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. That the Ribbono Shel Olam was speaking, and not that he spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking. Moshe Rabbeinu overheard what was going on. Rashi Achumish quotes, I think, the opening Rashi, that the opening pasuk in Vayikra is an example of Shnei Ksuvim Amakrishim Zezeh. So one of the Yud Gimel Midas, there are many more than Yud Gimel Midas Shatarnid Reshes. The Gemara has many more styles of the Roshes. But Rabbi Shmuel lists off those 13. So one of those is a Binyan Av. What's a Binyan Av? Whenever you have a word that appears several times in Chumash, in the context of Halacha, and in one place we know what the connotation of the word is, like the word aid. Does the word aid mean a witness? A single witness who's testifying. What does the word aid mean? A pair of aidim, testimony. So the Gemara says, well, it says lo yakam eid echad bish l'chalav and l'chal chatas b'chal chet ashiyecht. It says lo yakam eid echad. So you see, why does it have to say eid echad? The word aid is in singular. So you see, if it would have just said aid, it wouldn't say eid echad. Kamak mishnamer aid, it means shnayim. So even when it says by the isha sota the aid ain ba. Eid Ein Bo means there are no two witnesses, but there is Eid Echad. Eid Ein Bo means there are no two Eidim. So that's an example of a Binyan Av. We don't have so often Binyan Av. But the Gemara has very often is Mamatzinu. Let's say the opening Mishnah in Bava Kama says that in Chumash, in Parshas Mishpatim, they list off Shor, Bor, Mabe, Hever. So those are called Ovis. Why are they called Ovis? So Rashi writes, Ovis Kor Lahanach, Dechsivim Bikro Behedya. Ovis are those Nezikin, Shor Bar Mara Hevet, that are explicit in Chumash. What it told us? Told us are those that are similar to the Ovis. So that, and how do you know they're told the same? Kayetz Behem, that they're told us have the same dinim as the Ovis. They're just like the Ovis Achayim, they're told us Achayim, just like the Ovis have a quirk of a Ptur, that Eish is Potter on Toman. So the told us of Eish will be Potter on Toman, as Bor is Potter on Kalim, and Adam is Potter on Koifer, and Karen is only Chayv Chatzin Nezik. And Shem V'Regel is Pata B'Shu Sarab. Each one of the obvious Nezikin has a different quirk, and the Toldos are exactly the same. Told the same Kayetz Behem, they're Chayiv, and the Toldos have all the quirks of the obvious. Everything is the same. How do you know that that's so? So the Gemara says, well, just like the Av has these properties, and the Torah says it has this din, so the Toldos have the same properties, so it has the same din. So that's a Mamatzinu. Mamatzinu, the Chumash, has a din of Shor, and Bor, and Mavar, and Hever. And has these dinim, so the toldos, which are similar, have the exact same din. We just had about Asiyas HaMishkan. So it says, Atzishitim Omdim. What does it mean, Atzishitim Omdim? That the krushim of the Mishkan were made from wood, and they have to be standing keder kedilosim. You can't have the krushim sideways. It has to be the way they grow. You can't have it upside down. It has to be dafka the way it grows on the ground, keder kedilosim. So that pasuk, which is written by the Mishkan, is extended. The Gemara learns out from there that it applies also to the lulav and the esrog. You have to hold all the dalim minim kederach kedilos. If you make an aron kodesh and shul from wood, so you don't require that the wood should be kederach kedilos, because there's no requirement in the first place that you had to use wood for the aron kodesh. If you want, you can use gold. If you want, you can use bricks. You don't even need an aron kodesh at all. You can use plastic. You can use whatever you want. The halacha only applies when you have to use something that grows from the ground. When you have to use a natural item that grows from the ground, it has to be kederach kedilos. If you don't have to use a natural item, so it doesn't have to be something that grows from the ground, it doesn't have to be kederach kedilos. So these are examples of mamatzinu. So here the Gemara has, it's rare. It's rare to find a binyan av. It's rare to find mamatzinu. All of Shas is full of mamatzinu. Binyan av is very rare in the Gemara. So Rava says, here's a binyan av. An aid, kol makom shenema aid is a binyan av. Yeah. So Binyanav is one of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben the Shabbos. What about Binyanav? We have very rarely in the Gemara that a word appears in two places in Chumash, or since it has the halacha connotation, has a certain halacha connotation in one source that has the same halacha connotation in the other sources, like Lo Yakum Eid Echad Biyish, that has the halacha connotation of Shnayim. The word Eid means pair of Eid. It doesn't mean a witness, it means a pair of Eid. So to over here, the word Seh means Lahotziya Saklaim, since in one place it has a connotation to the exclusion of Klaim, so whenever the word appears. So Binyanav appears rarely in the Gemara. Mamatzino appears very often in the Gemara. The Gemara has a lotion. Kol HaTarakula is Medimuye Milsa LeMilsa. Kol HaTarakula is we compare one thing to the other. If it's more similar to this, so we say it has the same. I have a case that doesn't say in Chumash. Is it similar to Shor? Is it similar to Bor? To Mavet? To Hever? Sure. So we're going to determine whether it's a told of A, B, C, or D based on being Medama Milsa LeMilsa. So that's a. That's Mamatzinu. So which one of the Yud Gimel Midas is the Mamatzinu? That's a shot. Mamatzinu is one of those many Midas that doesn't appear in the list. Or should I assume that it does appear in the list? So that's a discussion the Prima Godim shows in one of his little Svarim. That's a Machlekes HaRishonim. Some Rishonim say that Mamatzinu falls under the category of Binyanav. So Binyanav is a very popular Midah then. Binyanav, that has the halachic connotation, the same halacha connotation wherever it appears in Chumash, that you hardly ever have in the Gemara. The Gemara using a binyanav. You have it over here, you have it by Eid, and you don't have too many more in Shas. Mamatzina, you have on every daf in the Gemara. The Kol HaTarakul is based on Medam and Milsa and Milsa. Everything is based on Mamatzina. Some Rishonim say that binyanav falls under the category of, that Mamatzina falls under the category of binyanav. That just like we assume that the text of the Chumash is written, was dictated by Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu with one signon, and the same word that appears in different places has the same halachic connotation, so too the halachas have to fit into one big pattern. All halachas have to fit into one big pattern. That's what some Rishonim say. Other Rishonim say no. Binyanav only goes on the halachic connotation of the words. And Mamotzinu, that's the popular midah that's in the first Mishnah and Bava Kama, and all over the place, all over Shas, Mamatzinu falls under the category of the midah of Kal V'chaymer. Kal V'chaymer is basically a Mamatzinu with a twist. If the din of Chumash is like this, and the din in a certain other case is certainly like that. In other words, the other case is the same as the original case, and it's a Kal V'chaymer that it should be the same as the original case. So if there's a din of Kal V'chaymer, so it's a Kal V'chaymer that there's a need of Mamatzinu. It's a Kal V'chaymer, right to be done a Kal V'chaymer. So if there's a Kal V'chaymer, so it's a Kal V'chaymer that there's a midah of Mamatzinu. So it doesn't have the twist. A Mamatzinu is the hashvoah without the twist. So that's a big machlokes of Hashem. So the Prima Godim has a whole nafkamina ladina between one of the, I forgot already who says which way. One is a Meiri on the Dorim, the middle of the Dorim. One is derived on and is Pirish on the Torah's Kohen. So this shaila is a machlokes of Hashem in a diwan in Achreinim. He quotes it from Achreinim. And he gives you the nafkamina also, pircha on something. Pircha on the yochiach or something. It gives you some kind of a nafkamina, whether the midah of Mamatzinu falls under the category of Kal V'chaymer, or the midah of Mamatzinu falls under the category of binyanav. Anyway, here, Rava has a binyanav, a rare midah to be found in the Gemara. He says, there's one place in Chumash where the word Seh appears. The word Seh appears quite a few times in the Chumash. In the middle of mitzvahs, the middle of halachic discussions, not stam about the stories. So since in one place in the Chumash it clearly has the implication that it doesn't apply to kilayim, so too in all other cases, so too in other cases, we're not sure exactly, so too in another case in Chumash where the word seh appears, it comes to the implied to the exclusion of kilayim. Now, here's the question, which is the original place where it says Seh and it has the connotation of Lemute Kilayim, and which is the place to which we're learning? So which is the original marker? Which is the original pasuk that you're learning from? So the Gemara never tells you. It's a deep, dark secret. Our daf never says. The Gemara never says in Chulin either. Gemara Chulin has a discussion of this Binyanav of Rove. The Gemara never says. So Rashi is kind enough to say something, and Tosis is nice enough to disagree with Rashi. So Tosis quotes here, the Tosis on Ein Zeina and Bebe, Zeh Bonav, this big fat Tosis, So they say Rashi and Perikos has been a chulam dafayin ches pirish bekuntris. The binyanav starts from the pasuk shor six of imisayis and by kashrus. The Chumash lists off which are the kosher animals. So it says shor six of imisayisim. What does that mean? Aser that both parents are ksovim. Aser that both parents are izim. There's a sheep and there's a goat. Then there's a calf, that's a different thing. An egel is a behemagasa. It's a baby, behemagasa, that has a 9-month pregnancy. They're both kinds of ser, a behemadaka with a 5-month pregnancy, but one is a sheep and one is a goat. A sheep is a ksavim, both parents are ksavim, and izim are goats. So Rashi says the original mocha that we're learning from is when the Chumash lists off the kosher animals. So the word seh has the connotation of not being kilayim, because it says seh ksavim, a seh born of two parents that are both ksavim, a seh izim, a seh born from two parents, both of which are izim. That's what Rashi says. That's what we're learning from. Where are we learning to? So that's our Gemara is discussing, where are we learning to? So Tosis is masik on Rashi. If Rashi and Chulin, Dafayin Ches would have remembered our Gemara. Dafayin Ches over here also happens to be Dafayin Ches also. But there it's in Chulin Dafayin Ches on the base. Here it's Bavakama Dafayin Ches on Ram. So that's why Rashi forgot. So Tosi says if Rashi would have remembered what it says in Bavakama Dafayin Ches on Aleph, he would realize you can't say that you're learning out from the kosher animal, Seks of him. We say he's in, that's the origin of the Mam. No! Our Gemara says that the Mamatzino is needed to tell me that sometimes kilayim is also bachilo. Here's the Gemara. Lamai hilchisa. There are six lines from the bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. Lamai hilchisa. What do you need the mamatzina for? So the Gemara says, ki itma de rabba the tamashin amatar bur manatar to tell you about kashrus. I learned from the Mamatzinu, I learned from the Binyanav, our Gemara calls it a Binyanav. I learned from the Binyanav, wherever I'm learning from, I'm learning to the Pasuk by Kashrus, that it tells me that if it's Kilayim, sometimes you're not allowed to eat it. Kilayim, you're not allowed to make Kilayim, you're not allowed to plant Kilayim, you're not allowed to hybrid, you're not allowed to breed two different animals, you're not allowed to create Kilayim, even if they don't have a vlad, you're not allowed to have them made together. So that's an avera to make kilayim, but if an animal is born kilayim, you're permitted to eat it. It's muta b'achila. You're not allowed to bring it to the mizbeach. The Gemara learns out from a pasuk that kilayim is pasul lagabi hamizbeach, but it's muta lahedyot. If it would have been asa b'achila lahedyot, you wouldn't have needed the pasuk to tell you that it's pasul lahakrovus hakarbonus. We have a din in mashki yisod min amuta lahisod. That's a pasuk in the end of Yecheskel. Cheskel talks about the building of the Beis Hamikdash, Lasi Lavoi. Originally the Meduba was that that's going to be the Bais Shein is going to be the ultimate Beis Hamikdash. And then because nobody showed up at the time that they gave permission to return back to Eretz Yisrael, so Ruba the Ruba of the Jews, 95%, 98% of the Jews didn't go back to Eretz Yisrael, hardly anybody, just 43,000 Jews with change went back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the whole plan was scrapped. And the second Beis HaMikdash was not the ultimate Beis HaMikdash. They had a Hirasha, they should build the Beis HaMikdash differently. And the instruction that Yechezkel HaNavi gave about building the Beis HaMikdash, the size and everything that goes on the third Beis HaMikdash, on the ultimate, on the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash. So the Psukim there describe, Yechezkel HaNavi describes B'nevuah, how each one of the rooms should be. And then he talks about offering karbanos. So in the middle of the discussion of the karbanos, he says, Mimashke Yisrael. If you want to pour wine on the Mizbeach, or if you want to use oil to mix into the Menachas, so the Yayin and the Shemen has to be Mimashke Yisrael. When it's Mimashke Yisrael, has to be kosher, that a Jew should be allowed to drink it. Now they say in Yiddish, they refer to schnapps that's produced in Medina Yisrael, they call it Mashke Yisrael, because in Yiddish they call schnapps Mashke. But that's not what it means in the Pasuk. Mashke Yisrael means that the shemen that you use in the menachah, so the yain that you use for the nesachim, should be kosher, that a Jew would be allowed to drink it. So the Gemara assumes I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me. I shouldn't need a pasuk to tell me shorakeser prat lekilayim. Here, four lines from the bottom of Ayin Zayin and Beis. I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that you're not allowed to use kilayim as a korban and the Beis Hamikdash, if the din would be that kilayim is also b'achila, but of course it's pasal l'gabi hamizbech. It's a lack of mimashke yisrael min amutal yisrael. From the fact that I need a pasuk to tell me that kilayim is pasal hakrov al gabi hamizbech, that's a clear indication that it's mutal b'achila lehedyu. That it's not a problem in mimashke yisrael. So the Gemara is bothered with this kasha. That what here by Shor Oseh, the Brisa says beferish that Yechayv Dalet, the Pasuk says Yechayv Dalet, Chamish Bok Sham Tachas Hashah, Be'arba Tzon Tachas Haseh. So the Brisa learns that, the Brisa says that Yechayv Dalet Behei, even on Kilayim. And the Gemara says, how come, why don't we learn that from the Binyan Av of Rava, whenever it says the word Seh comes to exclude Kilayim? The Gemara says, no. We darsh in the word Shor Oseh, O Hatofel Haseh, like a, where else do we have O? We have a lot of times we have S, we have O. So S is O, here it says Shor Oseh, not only a Seh, even something that's similar to a Seh, it's only a half of a Seh. It's Kilayim, it's a half Seh and a half non-Seh. So even a Kilayim of a Seh, a Kilayim of a Shor, you lost the Bichayev Dalai. So the Gemara asks, how come over here by Shor Oseh? The word O is taken as a ribui, that Yechayv an Dalet Vehei an a Kilayim, even though it's only a half Shor V'seh, and it's a half some other min. And how come by Korbanus it says Shor Kes Veis Kivoled, and there we say that the O is Lemaitas HaKilayim, that Kilayim is no good. So Rav explains, Omar Rav, three lines from the bottom of Ayin Zayinim Beis, Hachem Inyana Dikra, Hachem Inyana Dikra. Rav explains very well. He says, whenever the Chumash writes two animals and it says O in between, what would the Svarah HaChitzayna have been? What would I have said on my own? Is it physically possible to have a Vlad from these two animals? So then I would have said on my own, if Shor is Chayv and Seh is Chayv, so a hybrid from both of them would also be Chayv. Yeah, but there is no such thing as a hybrid between a Shor and a Seh, because the Shor is Behema Gas and the Seh is Behema Dako. So I would have said on my own that if the animal is a Kilayim, you're not Chayv. So since the Svarah HaChitzayna would have been that you're not Chayv, so if it says O, and O is either a ribuy or a miut, so it must be that it's marba, that you are chayv. Masheini came by korbanus. There it says shora kesev oez ki yivolet. So it says kesev oez. So kesev and oez are both behemadaka, 5 month pregnancy, and it is physically possible to have kilayim from both of them. So I would have thought that a kesev is good for hakorovas hakorbanus, and an oez is good for hakorovas hakorbanus. So a hybrid between a kesev and an oez would also be good. So that's why I have a pasuk O, so the word O in that context is memayit. To say the word O is not always a ribui, not always a miut. The word O always comes to tell me lapuke from the Svarah HaChitzayna. Whatever you would have said on your own, whatever you would have thought on your own, so the word O tells me not to say like that. Yeah, Taisus points out the top of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. Taisus points out it's a whole interpretation in the Gemara, the first 10 lines. On Dafayin Chesem and Aleph. So part of their interpretation is that it says in the Pasuk, Shor O Kesev O Eis Ki Yivalim, Ho Yeshiva Yom Yom Tachasim, Yom Yishmino Halav, Yerotza V'kar B'ni Shal Hashem. You have to wait till the eighth day. So it says, Shor O Kesev O Eis. So Shor, it says twice O. Shor O Kesev O Eis. So Shor O Kesev, Shor is a Behem Agas, and Kesev is a Behem Adako. So Yati Yachal O Hatzi Klai Mi B'neim. It's physically impossible. It's physically impossible to have a vlad between a behema gasa and a behema daka. Kesef ways, it is physically possible to have, because they're both behema daka. So does the O come to be marba, or does the O come to be memai? So Taisa says, the first O, I would have said shora kesef, it's impossible to have a kilayim between these two. So I should have said that the word O is coming to tell me that it is good, that a kilayim is good. But between Kesev O'ez, that O tells me Faker. Kesev O'ez, it is physically possible to have a Vlad. So then the O over there should tell me against the Svarah HaChitzayna to say, even though theoretically, even though it should have been, I should have said that a Vlad that's Kilayim between a Kesev and an A's is Kosher LaHakrova. So the O tells me that it's Pasal LaHakrova. So there's a stira, shtibol stira between the first O and the second O. Does the word O come to be Marba, the word O come to be Mamayt? So Taisa says we should pull in the rule. That's a rule the Gemara has in the big sugi in the beginning of Yevamos around Afeya Davavasa. Whenever there's a hekesh, whenever you talk about a hekesh, you're not really talking about a hekesh, you're talking about the nature of the drasha of O, whether the word O is coming to be marba, the word O is coming to be memai. So whatever the svarach itzayna would have been, so O tells me fakert from the svarach itzayna. So the first word O, shor O kesev, with respect to kilayim over there, shor O kesev, yata yachal hotzi klayim ibinem. So based on Rava's rule, should have said the word O over there is l'rabas es haklayim. Fakert from the svarach itzayna. And kesev ways physically, it is possible to have klayim. So you should have said there the word O is lemaitis haklayim. So shtikal stira. Does the word O come to be marba, come to be might? So Tosha says, kalechadikal akusha l'chumer l'kula. It's not exactly, we're not discussing a hekesh, whether you go the hekesh l'kula l'chumer. Let's say I have a hekesh between A and B. A is one mitzvah and B is another mitzvah. So the darshan l'hokel, just like A has the kula, B has the kula, the darshan l'hachmer, just like B has the chumra, the A also has the chumra. So the Gemara says, whenever there's an unclear hekesh, you should always darshan l'chumra. So they said the same is true over here. Whenever there's an unclear drasha of O, does the word O in this context come to be marba, come to be mamayit? So we go l'chumra, so we say it comes to pasal. L'chumra makshinim. Yeah, this is a big machlokes harishonim in Psochim, in the third parak of Psochim, and a big discussion in Achreinim, Rabbi Kivegir, Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole essay about this, and Asman Deraisa. This rule, Kalecha Digal Akusha, L'chumer L'kula, L'chumer Makshinon, is this because Safik Deraisa L'chumer? You're not sure which way to darshan, so you should darshan L'chumer. Or no, should I say Midahi Batur? This is Batoris Vadai, not Batoris Safik. Nafkamina, if you establish an Easter based on this principle, Kalecha Digal Akusha, L'chumer L'kula, L'chumer Makshinon, would you say that it's Betoris Sofik and there's no Malkus, or would you say it's Betoris Vadai and there would be Malkus, or would you be Moitzi Mammon based on L'chumer Makshino, if it's an issue of Dini Mammonis? If it's because you go L'chumer, so Mammonis, you go HaMoitzi Machaber Olavara, you should go L'kula. But if it's a Midihi Batara, so then it should even be a Mammonis. So that's what Tosis writes in the beginning of Bava Kama. Amir Rabbeinu Tam, and Av Gimel Amad Aleph. Amir Rabbeinu Tam, in the third tesis on Gim Lamed Aleph, the third tesis from the top. Am Rabbi Natan, mi dihi batar, lo shne bi isur, lo shne be bamayna. L'chumer makshinon is one of the rules, b'toras vaday, not b'toras sofik. And other Balei tesis hold not so. Other Balei tesis hold beferish, in psochim, in the third perik, others hold that it's b'toras feka deraisa l'chumer. Rabbi Kivegir, in one of his tshuvas, writes that it's b'toras sofik. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes other achrayim, would disagree with Rabbi Kivegir, but it's really a machlekes harishayna. Whether it's b'toras sofik, b'toras vadai. Here, Tais doesn't go into it, but Tais is just using the midah. Whether the word O, you should darshan l'kula l'chumra. So there seems to be a contradiction between the two O's. So Tais says, we go l'chumra and we're memayit things. So we passel two things. We say, shorah keser prat l'kilayim, or eis prat l'nidme. Kilayim, if it's really a hybrid. Somebody, two animals were breeding together on their own, or somebody, a farmer, caused them to breed together, and they had a vlad. So the vlad is a hybrid, so that's kilayim. Nidme means that it's a mutation. It's really the father and the mother of this animal are both the same, and a mutation occurred, and it doesn't look like it's parents. So that's a new psul of nidme. Yeah, that psul of nidme. What does Tosis point out? What does Tosis point out? The psul of nidme applies even if yeshbo. What do you mean nidme? It's a mutation. What does it look like? Doesn't look at all like the parent. Even the eyes don't look like the parent. The lips don't look. The ears. The totally doesn't look at all. So Tosis points out on Ayin Chesem and Aleph, they quote it's an often a Gemara Mchoris, that the psul of nidma by Karbanis is afila yesh bo mitzah simen. Even if it looks, it has eyes like the parent. Not that a male sheep and a female sheep have a vlad. Looks like a tiger. The eyes, the ears, the mouth, everything is totally looks like a tiger. It doesn't look at all like the parent. Even if it looks a little bit, even if it's doima be mitzah simanim to the parents, it's still possible hakrava agabi hemizbech. That's what Tosis just quotes a Gemara like that. Yeah. So that pasuk shara kesaveis kivale pratle klein pratle nidme, that applies to all karbonas. All karbonas, if it's klein or nidme, the pasul akrava agabi emisbeir. And if you brought it, you're not yotze even b'di'evit. So what does the Gemara need right now? Nine chesam and av. The Gemara needs an additional pasuk to tell me that ma'isa beheme is no good if it's a kilayim, and b'chor beheme tohira also is no good if it's kilayim. B'chor beheme tohira ma'isa beheme are karbanos. It's an ezel mekayim. They're karbanos. So I already know that all karbanos are no good if they're kilayim or if they're nitme. So why do I need an additional pasuk by Maisa Behema? Why do I need yet an additional pasuk by Bechor Behema Tor? So the answer is, by Maisa Behema, let's say I have, well, what's the din of Maisa Behema? If the farmer had 10 vlodas were born in his herd in the course of a year. Well, what do I mean in the course of a year? From what? From January 1st to January 1st? July 1st to July 1st? The fiscal year begins from July 1st? No. It's a machlek, it's the first mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. One Tana says from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Rosh Chodesh Elul, and I think we don't paskin like that. We paskin that Rosh Hashanah l'maisa behem is echad b'tishrei. Taka from Rosh Hashanah, from our Rosh Hashanah. We're like behemoths. Rosh Hashanah for people is echad b'tishrei. So the behemoth is also echad b'tishrei. So if the farmer had 10 vlodas were born in his farms in Eretz Yisrael within the course of a year from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, so you should bring them all together and mafish ma'isa behema. What happens if some of them are bali mumen? So you don't include them when you mafish ma'isa behema? No, the bali mumen, you can't be makariv at agabi hamizbeach. But still, you, if that's one of the 10, so you put them all together in the corral in the deer dalad yud resh. You machnas everything l'dir biyachad lehisaser, and then you mafish ma'isa behema. You're not supposed to rig it. You're not supposed to see to it that the balmum should not come out less or should come out less. You just leave all the 10 animals alone. You have them go out. You have a very narrow opening, and you have them go out one by one, and then hasiri yeh kodesh l'Hashem. If it turns out that the 10th one, if it turns out that the 10th one happens to be a balmum, so then you cannot be makrivet on the mizbech. If it turns out that one of the first 9 is a balmum, so kodesh. So it doesn't bother me. The 10th one will be kodesh, should be makrivet agabi hamizbech. So here the Gemara is telling me that if one of them is kilayim, you're not machnas et lidir lehisaser. That if it's kilayim and it turns out to be the lucky winner, that's the 10th one, and you're supposed to be makar agabi hamizbech b'zmancha b'samikdusha yekayim. That's a double portion I know from this pasuk. Shora kesef pratli kilayim. Maisa behem is one of the karbonas. Of course, you can't be makar of it if it's kilayim. The pasuk tells me that you're not even machnas et lidir lehisaser. Can't even be one of the 9. Can't be one of the 10 at all. Not only that, you're not makrivit agar mizbech if it turns out to be the 10th one. That's supposed to be machnas at lidir lehisasa. And what he need, we explain, what he need another posik by Bechor. Bechor is the ha-korban like all the korbanos. If it's going to be a kilayim, so of course the din is that you can't be makrivit agar mizbech. So what he need an additional posik? No. The din is that by Bechor, behema, tohira, there are two parts to it. First of all, it's mamon koin. It's one of 24 matnas kuhuna. The Gemara says there are chof dalad matans kuna. Rashi and all of Rishonim have a problem. There are more than 24. There are quite a few more than 24 matans kuna. So Rashi and the other Rishonim all try to work hard. They all work very hard. Which two or three are you combining together? So the different shittas, which one does make a difference, halacha ma'aseh, what you're combining together. But there are different suggestions in the Rishonim. Among the Rishonim, how do you combine them together? But there are clearly 24 matans kuna. One of the matnas kuna is a machlekes, whether ma'isa behema is matnas kuna or not. That's a machlekes. Rashi on Chumash, in the end of Chumash Vayikra, writes that the ma'isa behema is not from the matnas kuna. He says that Rashi on the Gemara writes the same thing. It never says in Chumash, it never says anywhere in Mishnah, that you give it away to the Kam. Doesn't say. So it's not from the matnas kuna. That's what Rashi writes. So it's a korban. The Yimakar on the Bizbeh, who eats it? So Rashi says, the farmer keeps it. It's not from the Matan's Kuna. And Rashi is this in disagreement with the Gaonim. The Rashbo and Masechah Shabbos quote some of the Gaonim, where Rashi knew that the Gaonim said like that. Rashi is disagreeing. They hold that that Maisa Beheime is from the Matan's Kuna. He's supposed to give it to the Kohanim. Where did they get the Zainfall from? That the Meiser is on the Matas Kuna. Rashi Tain is that it doesn't say anywhere. So the Netziv, in the end of his, at the very end of his Biur, on Chumash Vayikra, writes in the Hoysofis, on the bottom of the page, in the Herchav Dover, he says it's a pasuk in Dibra Yomim. It says when they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdosh after 7 years of Golus Babel, and they brought Karbonis, so they brought Maisa Behem, and they gave it to the Kohanim to eat. So how does Rashi deal with that pasuk? It is enough in a pasuk in Dibra Yomim. It's not a pasuk in Chumash. It's enough in a pasuk in Dibra Yomim. So the Nesiv comes up with this fantastic idea. He starts off with the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that even though there's only a mitzvah to eat matzah, Laila HaRishon of Pesach, the rest of Pesach, there's no mitzvah to eat matzah, but it's a mitzvah sarshus. If you eat matzah, you get a mitzvah kiyumis. You're not mechuyiv to, but if you do it, so you fulfill the mitzvah. There are those who say the Vilna Gaon's chiddush is a contradiction in terms. What do you mean a mitzvah sarshus? The word mitzvah, in Yiddish, the word mitzvah means you did a good deed for the day. A mitzvah. It's katana mitzvah. In Hebrew, biblically, the word mitzvah means mitzvah. A commandment. How can you have an optional commandment? Either commanded or not commanded. So those who disagree with the Vilna Gaon, they say, the Vilna Gaon is wrong. There is no such thing as a mitzvah sorashus. Then it didn't have the gall, like didn't have the chutzpah, like some of the Talmid HaChacham in our generation, to say the Vilna Gaon was wrong. So he picks up on this. There exists such a concept as a mitzvah sorashus. So then he starts to shake out a whole list of other mitzvah sorashus that he thinks. So he said, that's the teretz on Rashi. The Rashi thinks that that pasuk in Dibra Yomim, Rashi read Dibra Yomim. If I would say, there's no pasuk, so you say, it's often a pasuk. Rashi wrote a bir on Dibra Yomim. Maybe it's not by Rashi. I think they say that bir on Dibra Yomim is not by Rashi, it's by someone else. By Rashi and his pirush on Tanakh, the rest of Tanakh that he did write, quotes Psukim with Dibra Yom. So he once, at least once in his lifetime, he read Dibra Yom. He probably read it more than once in his life. So he probably knew what it says there. So then it's it claims that what it says in Dibra Yom, that they gave the Maisa Behemoth to the Kohanim, that's a mitzvah sarshus. Rashi just meant to say, you're not obligated to give it to the Kohanim. But if you give it, there's a mitzvah sarshus. Why should be a mitzvah sarshus? Let's say, Mafish Maisa Sheni. Maisa Rishon you give to the Levin. Truma Gedolah they give to the Kohanim. Maisa Rishon you give to the Levim. Maisa Sheni you keep and you eat it in Yerushalayim. Is there a mitzvah of Rishus if you give Maisa Sheni to the Kohanim? No. Well, why should it be a mitzvah of Rishus? There is no mitzvah of Rishus. So why should Rashi say over here? So according to Rashi, why should the pasuk Dibra Yomim be understood that it's a mitzvah of Rishus? So then it works out. That's out. Rashi for the Psukim. How could it be such a mitzvah of Rishus? What is it based on? So he tries to give a suggestion. It's problematic. So that's part of the relevance of the Chof Talit. More says the 24 Matan Skuna and all the Rishonim work on it. There are more than 24. So what did you throw out and what are you including? What are you not including? So the most of the discussion is not really Negei L'Halacha. Which ones you combine together? It's not Negei L'Halacha. But what's Negei L'Halacha is that some of the Gaonim included Maisa Behem as one of the 24 Matan Skuna. And Rashi says that it's just not so, that it's not from the Matan Skuna at all. Rashi holds it's not. Either pasuk Dibra Yom, it's a mitzvah sorashus, but you're not mechuyif. But what the Goyim said, benegeh to Maisa Behema, that is both a korban that's korba gabem is be'ah plus that is a Matan Skuna, that is correct by Bechor. By Bechor it certainly is correct. Bechor Behema Torah has two dinim to it. Number one, it's from the Matan Skuna. Even if the Bechor Behema Torah that's born a Balmum, even if it's a balmum, you still have to give it to the Kohanim. And the Kohanim are entitled to Shech, to Chutz, to Beis HaMikdash, a balmum. They don't have to, these are the two karbonas that you don't have to be paid. Usually when a Kedushas HaGuf gets a mum, then you can be paid. If it doesn't get a mum, you can't be paid. That's what we were discussing the other day. This Tais is over here on Ein Zayin on the base. The top Tais is, I'm a higher Rab Shimon, Parah Niftis. Pora is kocher berek abayis. Everybody agrees that Pora Duma has pidyon. The machlokes hatanoim only is Pora Duma after shechita. So Rab Shimon says it still has pidyon, and the other tanoim disagree. It doesn't have pidyon. And even Rab Shimon agrees that you reach a certain point after which it doesn't have any pidyon anymore because chat is kai rachmona. So the Pora Duma before you do the avoda to it, either the avoda of shechita, the avoda of hazos adam nochach pesach al moed. Before you do the avodah to it, it does have pidyon. Why? Because it's only kachem beregabayis. It's not kachem mizbeach. If something is a bona fide kachem mizbeach, it doesn't have pidyon unless it gets mum. Then you have two korbanos that have kedushas haguf l'mizbeach, and they don't even need pidyon. Once they get a mum kavua, he can't be paid. You have to have a mum kavua. Once you have a mum kavua, so by all other korbanos, chatos and ashem and shlomim and pesach and everything, you need pidyon. The two korbanos that don't need pidyon, lechore ma'ase behema. Once they get a mum, so you can shecht them chutz lebeis hamikdash without pidyon. So the bechor behema Torah is matnas kuna. You have to give it to the kohanim even if it's a bal mum. No one has to be paid it, but the kohen has a right to shecht it chutz lebeis hamikdash. Bizmanas are also, he's supposed to give it to the kohen. They have to wait till it gets a mum. They're not allowed to be matal mum. They're not permitted to be matal mum, even though bizmanas say you can't be makrevin anyway. Still, that's an issa. You're not permitted to be matal mum in the kohen. So that I have a pasuk shora keser prat lekilayim. That's on ein zayin and base, four lines from the bottom. I have a pasuk that tells me that kilayim is pasul akrab al gabim mizbeach. That I know. So if it turns out that a b'chor be'metar it happens to be a kilayim, I know I'm not going to be makriv al gabim mizbeach. No question about it. But the question is, does it have the din of b'chor be'metar that it's matnas kahuna? Is it mamon hashevet or not? Because by Pchor, everybody agrees. By Maisa Behema, that's a machlekes ha-goinim. The goinim hold that it's a matnas kuna, and Rashi disagrees. But by Pchor Behema Torah, everybody agrees to that. That it's matnas kuna in addition to being a korban, that's korban gabei mizbech. So the pasuk tells me, sure, a keser prat l'kalai means that you can't be makrivit on the mizbech. But how do you know that it doesn't have the din of Pchor Behema Torah, that it's not even a matnas kuna? So that's what the Gemara needs, an additional drasha. An additional drasha. So the Gemara asked this question. We have this binyan av of Rava. We're learning from some pasuk or another. Rashi and Chulin Daf Ayin Ches claims that you're learning from the pasuk that the word says with respect to kashrus, the list of the kosher animals. Tosfos said it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says here we're trying to learn according to one Tana, Rebbe Elazar. We're learning from the binyan av of Rava to the kosher animals. That in a certain, there's one case where a behemah that's going to be a kilayim will not be kosher. So it can't be that you're learning from that pasuk. Other rabbis must say you're learning to that pasuk. So that's why Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. So where are you learning from? Where's the original source? So Tosfos shows from the Gemara in Bechoris, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Sof Perakamad Bechoris Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, that's in the Tosfos Zeb Banav, and Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. The Tosfos says the original source seems to be that you learn it from Korban Pesach. That the word seh, sex of him is seizim. The word seh appears in connection with Korban Pesach, and we can tell from the context of that pasuk that it's not talking about kilayim. I tell you, Kasha, but the Gemara in Bchoris says you learn a gzera shava. It sounds from the Gemara in Bchoris you're learning a gzera shava from seh of Korban Pesach to other cases. And Agmar says, not a gzera shava, Agmar says that it's a binyan av. So Tosfos and Binyan Av and Gzeres Shavah are two different things. So Tosfos explains why you need both a Binyan Av and a Gzeres Shavah. Okay, it's a little bit doichik. That's what Tosfos works out. So you're learning from some original pasuk. Tosfos says it can't be what Rashi says. What Rashi says is, according to one opinion here, that's what you're learning to. You're learning to that din, to be megala, that with respect to kosher animals, if it's kilayim, sometimes it'll be also bachi. You can't say that that's what you're learning from. So which is the original pasuk that you're learning from? So Tosfos claims, based on Gemara, Sof Perakam, you're learning from the pasuk by Korban Pesach. And you're learning to, which other pasuk are you learning to? Which other din in the, from the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah? So one of the mitzvahs is Korban Pesach. So the word seh appears over there. Where else does the word seh appear that you darshan a binyan av to the exclusion of klai? Now the word seh appears by shorba seh, by dalad lehem. We just said that's an exception to the rule. We just made a whole fuss that we have a ribuy over there, O, Shor, O Kesev, Shor, O Seh, but Tvoch, O Mechoro, the word O over there is Marbe that you are Chayiv Dalad Vehei, on a Behemah that's Kelam. It cannot be that you learn from Korban Pesach to Korbanus, that in all Korbanus, Kilayim is not acceptable to have a separate drosha by Korbanus. Yeah, Shor, O Kesev, Prat, Le Kilayim. Can it be that I need the mamat and that I need the binyan av to tell me that by Bechor Behemah Torah it doesn't even have the din of matnas kahuna? And not only can't you be makrovid because it's a korban like all other gemara, it doesn't even have din matnas kahuna. No, I know that from a different pasuk, Agzera Shavah. Can it be that I needed to tell me that by Maisa Behemah It's not even nichnas l'dilei sas that you can't be makriv it on the mizbech that I know already that ma'aseh beim is the same as olkamon. It's not even nichnas l'dilei sas. Gemara says no, have a zera shavet tachas tachas. So what in the world do you need the binyan for? You're learning from one pasuk. Tesis suggests that Tesis claims that pasuk is the pasuk of korban pesach. To which other pasuk? By dalad the hayadin is not true. And by Korbanus is a separate drasha, and by Pchor Behemoth Torah is a separate drasha that it doesn't even have Matnas Kuna, and by Maisa Behem is a separate pasuk that it's not even Nichlan Sildilisat. Well, finally comes up, I have a pasuk Pidyon Petach Hamor. Petach Hamor Tifta Biseh, Vilo Tifta Varafta. That's in the Tfilin, the parasha that appears in the Tfilin. Petach Hamor Tifta Biseh. So what's the pshut? Before you get to any Binyan Av, what is the pshut of Shal Mikra Biseh? B'seh is a behema dako, v'lo be'egel. Egel is behema gasa. V'lo be'chaya. Seh is a behema, and chaya is a chaya. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara explains there in the first perik in Pchor, the end of the first perik in Pchor, there are two dinim, there are two halachas in Pinyan Petach Hamor. If you want to be paid to Bishavyo, then you can be paid onto kesh. You can be paid, the Gemara says, onto shlokas. Shlokas is cooked vegetables. Have a can of cooked vegetables. Maybe have a case of cans of cooked vegetables. How much is this Petach Hamor worth? How much, if you would sell a Petach Hamor in the store, how much would you get for it? Forget about the fact that it's Hegdish. If it would have been Chulin, how much would you get? Happens that Petach Hamor, before Pidyon, is also Bahanon. That's a machlek to Satanayim, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shimon. So we pass, and one Tana says, the fact that it's called Pidyon implies that it has an Issa Hanor. And by performing the pidyon, you remove the issa hanor. So obviously, that's what we assume. That before pidyon, it's also banor. The other Tana says, no, you do pidyon on ben, on the baby. The baby is not also banor before you make pidyon. Well, mitzvah pidyon is a mitzvah to give matnas kuhuna. You're not removing any issa from the baby. So pidyon petach hamor doesn't necessarily force us to assume that the petach hamor was also banor before pidyon. So that's a machlokes hatanah in the end of the first parak in Pchoris. Machlokes abyudah Reb Shimon in the Mishnah. And we pass in La Locha that Petach Hamor is also banua before Pidyon. So you got to do a Pidyon. So the Gemara says there are two dinim of Pidyon. The din that says in Chumash Tifta Biseh, or if you pay the Bishavyo, so you can be paid the Bishlokas, you can have a case of canned vegetables, or take cash. You can be paid the Bishavyo, no problem. If you pay the Biseh, then you don't even have to be paid the Bishavyo. Let's say the Petach Hamor is assessed that it's worth $500. If a goy would want to buy such a healthy specimen of a chamor, it would cost them $500. You give a seh, even if the seh is worth $1, you get away with you save $499. So if you give a seh, then it doesn't have to be bishavi. So the Mishnah says, if you're giving a seh, it's not bishavi. You can't be paid the be'egel, because it says behema daka and egel is behema gasa, but not bechayo, because a behema is not a chayo. So those two we know from the Pshuto Shal Mikra. It says Tifte B'Seh. When it's not B'Shavyo, Tifte B'Seh, Sevelo Egel, Sevelo Chaya. What about Sevelo Shchuto? Would you say Sevelo Shchuto? That if the animal is already have sliced meat, have lamb chops. No. Lamb is an Egel. That's no good. No, a lamb is an Egel. So let's say get the sheep. I have goat's meat. So I shechted a goat, a shchuta, a seh, sovim, a seh izim, either a goat or a sheep. I shechted a shchuta. So it says in the Mishnah that it's no good. How do you know that it's no good? It's no good because the word seh has the connotation of a live animal? Oh no, the word seh would probably mean even a gishachtan animal, but there's a new drasha that it's no good b'shchuta. So that's what Tosis points out in this big Tosis on Zayin and Mavais, they claim to have a rife in the Gemara in Yuma Daf Mem Test. The parafidu shochet kori par. You see where it has in parentheses in Yuma Daf Mem Test on the base. So they prove in that Gemara parafidu shochet kori par. Then they prove from another Gemara, from another pasuk. So they claim that shchuto, the Mishnah that says in the end of the first parak in Pchoris, that a seh shochet is not acceptable for pinyan petach hamor. Unless you give b'shavio, if you give b'shavio, you can give kesh, you can give shlokas. We're talking shalom b'shavio. So shalom b'shavio is no good if it's shchuto. It's not based on mashma usidikra. It's not that the word seh Tifta said the word seh has the connotation with lo be'egel v'lo be'chaya. That's true, because egel is a behema gasa and chaya is a chaya, and seh is a behema daka. But the word the shchuta is included in the word seh. Shchuta is no good for a different reason. We have to have some new drosh. That's what we're going to discuss. What's that new drosh? V'loy betreifa. What about an animal? Let's say I have a seh that's a treifa. The tifta b'seh, the pinya petrahamah, you're not makriv it on the mizbeach. It's not a korban. You give it to the, you make pinyan petrahamah, and you give the, see, ma'isa be'ema is a machlekes, whether you give it to the kohanim. Pinyan petrahamah is a chumash, it says you give it to the kohanim. That's beferish in chumash. So, what's the kohen going to do with the treifa? He'll be able to use it to sell it to a god. When he kills it, he'll sell it to a god, be able to use it. So how do you know that a treifa is no good? That's me mashmosi the crow, that the word seh has the connotation of a healthy animal as opposed to a treifa animal. No. So the exclusion of shchuto and treifa and kilayim, that's not from the mashmos of the word seh. So how do you know that all these three things are no good? So that's a gemara in Choriz Daf Yud Beis. The gemara says, I have a gzera shova from Korban Pesach. Nema kan seh. It says over here by Pidyon Petach Hamor Tifta B'Seh. V'nem Halon, and it says by Korban Pesach Seh. Ma Lahalon Prat Lo Chaloshem is Halola. Just like by Korban Pesach, all these three are not acceptable. Which three? The Shchuta, the Treifa, and the Kilayim. So to over here, Prat Lo Chaloshem Afkan, Prat Lo Chaloshem is Halola. That's what it says in the Gemara M'Chor Stav Yibes. Yeah, but the Gemara M'Chor says Nemekam and Nemesham Seh. It sounds like that's a Gzer Shava. And Agamar presents it based on Rava's quotation that it's a binyanav. It is not a contradiction. It's a Tesis works out how it's not a contradiction. Why need both a Gzereshova and a binyanav? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Rava's binyanav is, it says in one place, and that one place happens to be Korban Pesach. Tesis did their research and they dug up this Gemara in Choriz Daf Yud Beis. So the original source of the word seh is by Korban Pesach, and then it says min haklasim min rizim tikocha, both parents are klasim, both parents are rizim. So we know that the word seh by Korban Pesach has the halachic connotation prat l'kilayim. So to over here, by Pidyon Petach Hamor, it says the word seh, and that's the binyanav. Frek the Gemara, but that's a machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah, and the Tana Rebbe Lozor holds reish aleph. Either it's Rebbe Elazar or it's Rebbe Eliezer. You can never tell. Reish Aleph is either Rebbe Elazar or Rebbe Eliezer. Tosfos on the last line on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph says no, it's not unclear. It's clear that it's not Rebbe Eliezer. How do they have the Ruach HaKodesh to know if it says Reish Aleph? How do they know? So they explain why they're going to hakken that Zev is a Gerim. They have their thing. They have their discussion. So it happens that the Tana Rebbe Eliezer has machlekes with Rebbe Yeshua regarding Zev is a Gerim. Rabbi Eliezer is Machmer, Zev is a Gormis. Rabbi Eliezer is usually Machmer. The Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer is Shamutihu. Rabbi Eliezer is from the Beishama. Beishama is usually Lechumra. The Mishnah is 780, the first Mishnah in Beitz is one of those Mishnahs. It gives a list of situations, gives a list of cases. Eilu Mikulei Beishama Mechumra Beishilu. There are a few exceptions to the rule where the Beishilu will Lechumra and the Beishama will Lechumra. But usually the overwhelming majority of cases, the Beishama will Lechumra. The holy Tana Rebbe Eliezer ben Hurkins, Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol, was from the Talmid of Beishamah. The Gemara says, Rebbe Eliezer Shamutehu. The Gemara said, that's the reason why we don't pass like him, because he got a lot of his shittas from the Beishamah. So he's usually more machmer than Rebbe Yeshua, his bar plukta. Rebbe Yeshua was from the Beis Hillel. So this, the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Nun Ches, and in other places, in the end of Krisis, in other places, Tamur, the end of Tamur. So the Gemara says that this was a big machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. What's the din of Zev is a Gorim? Rabbi Eliezer says Lechumer, it's us, and we pass like Rabbi Yeshua Lekula. What does it mean, Zev is a Gorim? Zev is a Gorim is a branch of another din. The original din is Ayotzim and Asa Rasa, Ayotzim and Atame Tame. You have a pasuk that says, when it lists off the non kosher birds, so it says Bas Hayano, a vlad of an ostrich, a baby ostrich. So the Gemara says, and what about an adult ostrich? Is mutter only a basayana is awesome? No. What does it say, basayana? Basayana comes to be marba beitza saif tome. Not only is the ostrich aser, the bisarha ostrich is aser, even the beitzin are also asr. Or the same thing, let's say milk. Not only a gomel is asr, camel's milk is also asr b'achila. Yotzei min ha-tamei tamei. That's a Mishnah in the first perek in Becharis. Yotzei min ha-tamei tamei. Tamei means treif. It doesn't mean tamei. It means asr b'achila. Behemet tmeya. A gomel is an ostrich, is an oif tamei. Doesn't mean tumei v'tara, it means asr b'achila. So yotzei min ha-tamei tamei v'yotzei min ha-tohar is tohar. So what if... That's a big question. This din, ayetzim and atami tami, do you get malchus? Do you not get malchus? Let's say you drink the milk. If you would have eaten a cow that's a trefa, you would eat the bisar ha-gomol. So one who eats bisar behemet meya gets malchus. What if he drinks the milk from a non-kosher animal? He also gets malchus. So they say, no, that's only an isa, but there's no malchus. So that's a machlekes. Rab Chaim has in a sefer on the Rambam. He has a whole discussion on this, but the ABC, before he gets to what his contribution to the topic is, he just quotes it. It's a machlekes, the Rambam and Tosfos. The Rambam says that a yotze min atami tami, there's no malchus. There's no malchus on yotze. And Tosfos b'kama b'kamis always assumes that there is malchus on yotze. But there is malchus on yotze. So there is a din, a yotze min atami is tami, and a shaila whether there's malchus or there's no malchus. So here there's a machlekes, Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua, that's quoted in a few places in Shas. What if it's not a yotze min atomi? What if it's a yotze min atomi min atohar? A yotze min atomi min atohar. What's an example? Let's say you have a kosher animal with a non-kosher animal mate together and they have a vlad. It's impossible. So the Gemara will tell you how it is physically possible. So if you have, that's the last line going over time. How is that physically possible? So if you have a vlad, atomi min atohar have a vlad. So if you hold ein choshishim lezera ha'av, you ignore the yichas from the father. So then Tosfos says it's not a topic of Yetzim and Atomim and Atohar. You ignore the father. That's one day in Tosfos. In Sanhedrin, that pay on the days. Tosfos has two opinions. Because usually the Gemara talks about Ein Chosh, Yes Choshishim Lezera, Ein Chosh Mezera Av. The Gemara talks about this in determining the status of the Vlad. Is the Vlad a Behemah or is the Vlad a Chaya? So if you hold Choshishim Lezera Av and it's a hybrid, so it's both a Behemah and a Chaya. If you hold Ein Chosh Mezera Av, it's only whatever the mother is, and you ignore the father. But do you have the right to ignore the father with respect to Yotze min ha-tamei? So that's two opinions in Tosfos. So Reb Chaim doesn't like that opinion that I just said. He thinks the other opinion is correct. Reb Chaim doesn't like, but Tosfos did like. Tosfos has two opinions. We paskin it's a sveik adina. Where the choshishim lezera havein, choshishim lezera havein yoredeya, it's a sveik adina. Where is it a sveik adina? Where is it a sveik adina? By the din of Osevi as Beno. It says the Chumash describes the din shor v'sa osav esbanol lo sishchatu b'yomech. Osav esbanol only applies to behema. Doesn't apply to chaya. Doesn't apply to ov. Only to behema. So the pasuk says oso in the masculine oso v'esbanol. It sounds like the father v'esbanol, the son, a male. So the Gemara has a tradition. The vlad doesn't make a difference. Whether the vlad is a zohar and a keva doesn't make a difference. What about the parent that you're not allowed to shech the parent and the vlad on the same day? Parent also does make a difference whether male or female. So that's a machlokes ha-tanaim. So one Tana says it only applies if the mother is a female. If it's a male father, father is usually male. It's part of the Purim skit, yeah. Yeah. So if you have the Pshuta Shomikah says, Oso, v'yezbeno. So Oso, does it really apply if to a father and a vlad? So the vlad, it says, Beno, that doesn't make a difference whether the vlad is Zoch and a Keva. What about the father? So one Tana says, no, it does not apply to the father. Only applies to the mother. And the other Tana says it applies equally whether the parent is a Zohar and a Kev. And we paskan that that's a Sveik and a Dina, that you're not allowed to shecht Oso, the father, and a Vlad. But if you did shecht, the Mechaba says you wouldn't get Malkus because that's a Sveik and a Dina. The days of the Mechaba, nobody was giving Malkus anyway. They were thinking of, they gave Rabbi Yosef Karas Smicha, they were talking about giving Malkus to those who had worshipped Abu Dazar. But in order to relieve them from the chorus of worshipping Abu Dazar, but Lamai said they never gave any malchus. So the Mechaba passed in Sveik Adina, whether Osir is Beno is Noig Bischorim or not. What do you mean Bischorim? The Vlad is a Zohar or an Ikeva does make a difference. Whether Osir is Beno is Noig Bischorim if the parent is a Zohar. Rashi HaChumash writes, the Pshut Shal Mikra says Oso, and the tradition has it that it's Machloik Yisatanai. One Tana says we ignore the Pshut Shal Mikra. There are very rare cases like that. The halacha okevis as amikra. You have one pasuk. The Gemara says in the second parak in Yevamos, "Ein amikra yotze midei pshuta. Pshuta shemikra is always emes. except for one pasuk where the pshutu shel mikra is not emes. So the simple translation of the pasuk is he's supposed to name the baby after the one who died. So the Gemara says no, the mamish no pshutu shel mikra not pasuk. But in addition to that one pasuk, the Gemara has a few more pesukim in Soita. The Gemara has halacha o keves es hamikra, but the halacha reinterprets the pasuk that it's not to be understood the way one would have superficially read it. The simple reading here is also the Esmano goes on a male father. So you can say labdafke, father or mother. But how can you say only the mother, not the father? So one Tana is so convinced that by behemoth it does make sense to have a yichus to the father. But human beings you do have. If both parents are Jewish, the father establishes whether the child is going to be a kohen, a levi, or Yisrael. And if both parents are goyim, again the father establishes. But by behemoth, one Tana says it just doesn't make any sense. The father has no input in establishing the status of the vlad, whether the vlad is a behema or an oif. Behema or a chai. Oif is out of question. But the behema or a chai. So and that's a machlekes. So we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Mechaber writes, sveikei d'dinim. That it's a sveikei d'dinim. So Tosis writes there in Sanhedrin, and the Peyam Abeis, a little Tosis. Tosis writes, if one would have adopted the position that ein choshishim lezera ha'av, so we paskin sveikei d'dinim. So the whole discussion is irrelevant. But Tosis is working within that Tana. If one would have adopted the position that bevadois ein choshishim lezera ha'av, there's no input from the father to establish the status of the vlad by behemoth, behemoth versus chayom. So would it be considered if you have a kosher animal with a non-kosher animal made together, which is usually physically impossible? So the Gemara there has a simple case. You have a shara niskal, which is nigma dino lemiso, that's also bano, mates with a regular shor. They're both a shor and a male shor and a female shor. And one of them was Hargas HaNefesh, and his Nigma Dina Lemisa. So one is Asabana, one is Mutabana. They're both, biologically, they're both the same animal. One is kosher, one is not kosher. So they have a Vlad. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, what's the status of the Vlad? So Tosis says, wait a minute, it's a whole discussion of Zev Zedgarim. So Tosis says, why is it Zev Zedgarim? Why don't you just ignore the father? So Tosis says, it's only called the Zev Zedgarim. The whole topic only gets off the ground if you assume Choshishim Lezerah. If you all day choshim zerahav, the father doesn't determine the status of the child. So just dami hacha the father, and if the mother is a behemah kshera, so then you ignore the father. Then the second opinion in Tosis is not so. The debate among the Tanoim whether choshim zerahav or not is only vis-a-vis establishing whether the vlad is a behemah or a chayim. So one Tana holds ain choshim zerahav. The behemoth is not Messiachis after the father. Human beings are Messiachis after the father, by Jews and by non-Jews alike. But behemoths are not Messiachis after the father, only in the month. But if you're talking about a topic of Yetzim and Ha'asr, Zev is a Gar, Yetzim and Ha'asr and Ha'mutter, bottom line, you can't have, it takes two. You have to have a Zohar and a Keva. The Vlad is not, it's not an immaculate conception. The Vlad has to have a mother and a father. If one is kosher, one is treif. So it's a Zev is a Gar. So Zev is a Gorim, so Rab Chaim likes the second opinion of Tosis, but it doesn't matter what he likes. Tosis has two opinions on it. So what's the topic of Zev is a Gorim? It's a topic within the topic, it's a subcategory within the topic of Yotzim and Asa. There is a din of Bas Hayana, Beitz HaSoif Tamei is Asar, and the Gemara has another pasuk. Maybe it's only Beitz HaSoif Tamei, maybe Chola Behemet Tamei would not be Asar. Gemara has another pasuk, Chola Behemet Tamei is also Asar. All cases of Yotzim and Ha'asr are Asr. So what if it's a Yotzim and Ha'asr or Minam Mutter? He wouldn't have had this product, this food product, if not for the fact that you had the two, it's Yotzim and Ha'asr or Minam Mutter. Do you say, well, it's a Yotzim and Ha'asr, so it's Asr? Or do you say, no. Without the Mutter, it wouldn't have been. So it's Yotzim and Ha'asr, Minam Mutter, so there's no din, the din of Yotzim and Ha'asr doesn't apply. So that's a Machlokes Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua. A blazer is usually machmir. Whenever it's a machlokes, a blazer, Reb Yeshua, we usually don't pass on like Reb Eliezer. The Gemara says in the first perek in Nida, around Av Zayin, there are only three cases in Taurus where we pass on like Reb Eliezer. Usually we don't pass on like Reb Eliezer because a blazer shamutehu. Tosis points out, blazer shamuteh means he was from the Beis Shammai. So we don't, and he's usually the machmir. So that's why we don't accept his opinion, not because he's machmir, because he's from the Beis Shammai. Happens that Beis Shammai was usually Machmir. The Taisa says the Girsa over here says Reish Shalif and the Mishnah is Rabbi Loza. So Taisa says it can't be Rabbi Eliezer because it's not going to fit in with the topic of Zev Zegoyrim. Taisa wants the Chazar all of Shas here. So the Chazar are Gemara and Chulin, where the Gemara talks about Zev Zegoyrim. Gemara Mchoris, what do they quote? Gemara Mchoris talks about Zev Zegoyrim. So Taisa says it must be that the Reish Shalif here is Rabbi Loza. It's not Rabbi Eliezer. Is Reb Leizer ben Hurkanus, Reb Leizer HaGadol, the one who has the Pirka de Reb Leizer, that's him, Reb Leizer HaGadol. And Reb Elozer, Stam, is Reb Leizer ben Aruch. If it's Reb Leizer ben Azariah, they would say Reb Leizer ben Azariah. If it's Stam, Reb Elozer, without the Yud, without Reb Eliezer, then as we assume, it's Reb Leizer ben Aruch. So what did the Gemara say? Nachamot, we have this Binyan Av of Rava. You're learning from one place to the other. So Tosfos says the original place cannot be like Rashi says kashrus, kashrus of animals, because the Gemara says over here, according to Rebbe Elozer, Reish Aleph, according to this Tana, Reish Aleph, Rebbe Elozer, they say, you're learning from somewhere to kashrus, to establish that if it's a kalayim, in some cases, it's not going to be kosher. So it can't be that you're learning from the sev of kashrus. That's wrong. It's against our Gemara. So Tosfos says, Rashi forgot our Gemara. You're learning from the pasuk sev by Korban Pesach. Okay. And where are you learning to? So you're not learning to Dalet Vehei, the din is not true by Dalet Vehei. You are Chayv and Klai. You're not learning from Korban Pesach to Kochim, Kochim as it's under Russia, that the Kilayim is not acceptable. You're not learning from Korban Pesach to Bechor Behema Tohira, that it's not even Matan Skuna, it has its own Pesach. You're not learning from Korban Pesach to Maisa Behema that has its own pasuk Tachas Tachas. The other one has Havara Havara. So you're learning from Bchor. So you're learning from Korban Pesach to Pidyon Petach Hamar Tifta Biseh that you cannot be paid the Bikilayim. Fine. So the Gemara says, but that's only Honicha Le Rabbanan. That's good if you hold like the Mishnah. That's how we paskin that you cannot do Pidyon Petach Hamar with Kilayim. But Ula Reb Lozer, the Mata Bikilayim, he says that in the Mishnah, they quote him Chayrus, he disagrees, says the other two are no good. He needs this, either the Gzeres Shava or the Binyan Av, that we leave up to the Tosfos. Reb Lozer agrees that there is a Gzeres Shava Binyan Av, Pratel Chaloshem Esalolu, that you cannot do Pidyon Petach Hamor Biseh, if it's not Bishavyo, if it's a Shchuto, or if it's a Trefa. But Kilayim, he disagrees, he holds that Kilayim, he can be Poida. So if the Gemara asks, Lamai Hilchaso, so what does he need this Binyan Av of Rava for? Who says that he has to hold like Rava? Rav Lozer is a Tana, Rava is an Amor. Who says that? So the Gemara assumes that all the Tanoim subscribe to this Binyan Av. So the Gemara wants to know, it must be an old tradition. Rava didn't invent it. Must have been a tradition from the days of the Tanoim. Otherwise, the Gemara wouldn't ask such a silly question. What is Rav Lozer, the Tana, going to do with Rava's Binyan Av? It means all the Tanoim knew that there was such a Binyan Av. They just had a dispute. What is the teaching? Where is the Binyan Av relevant? What is it teaching me? So the Chachamim, the majority opinion in the Mishnah in the end of the first Perek Mechores Daf Yabeis is that it tells me Tifta Biseh that when you pay the Binyan Petchamor Biseh Shalom B'Shavya you cannot use Kilayim. But Rav Lozer holds that you can use Kilayim. The Gemara says he needs Gitma de Rava, he needs the Binyan Av of Rava to teach me a whole complicated thing, Tamish Anola Benator Birman Atame, blah blah blah. So what's Taka that holding? So what's that holding? So the Gemara starts explaining what's going on. So what do they explain over here? That there is a machlokes satanoim, Rashi on the top line says, Anayin Chesam Ebeis. Reb Shimon holds, not Reb Lozer, back to Reb Shimon again. Reb Shimon, the author of the Zohar, Reb Shimon Ba'ichoy. Whenever it says Reb Shimon, it's Reb Shimon Ba'ichoy, the same Tana Reb Shimon that we know. One who hid in the cave from the Romans and so on. So Reb Shimon Oimer Gomel Gomel Shnei Pam. There are two psukim in Chumash that say that a Gomel is Osir. What do you need two psukim for? Echad Gomel Hanola Ben Agmala. One is a normal Gomel, a Gomel Ben Gomel Ben Gomel. All the way back to Sheshes Mei Breish Ayiches. The father and the mother both Gmala. But Echad Gomel Hanola Ben Aparo. Afil Lebros Men Ator. The father and the mother. The father is an ox. The Aparo and the mother is a cow. Normal Shidduch. They got married. They have a Vlad Nidna. It's a mutation. A nidma is normally kosher. A mutation is possible akrav al gabi hamizbeach. Nidma is possible even if it's only nidba b'miktsas. Even if it's doma b'miktsas simanim, that's what they say. Even if it's doma b'miktsas simanim to the parents. The eyes are the same, the lips are the same, the ears are the same. If it's slightly nidme, if it's a slight mutation on any organ, it's already pasal hakraba gabi hamizbech. What is muta lahedya? It's muta bechulin. So what if you had a par and a para have a vlad, and that vlad is a mutation, and it looks like a gomel. It looks like a gomel. So what's the halacha? So Rabbi Gamliel is of the Reb Shimon. Talking about a gomel. So Reb Shimon says that the word gomel appears, that I made a mistake on the layout. So Reb Shimon says that the word gomel appears twice, gomel, gomel, shnei pamim. Echo gomel, gomel, regular gomel is us. Echo gomel, anorled, mena, por, afili, brasa, mena, tohor. The par became pregnant from a par, from a shor, mishor gomor. So Reb Shimon holds that the vlad is asa b'achila. Why? In order that it should be muta, has to have malagir mafis parsa. The vlad doesn't have mafis parsa. It's kolud. That's called a kolud ben para. The parents are par and a para, shor and a para, and the vlad is a kolud. It's a gomel. So even though the parents all the way back have simonim, malagir mafis parsa, all the way back to sheshes mebreishes, doesn't help the yichus that the parents have. Reb Shimon is of the opinion that the animal that you want to shecht and eat has to have malager mafis parsa. Doesn't have. It's a kolot ben par. Doesn't have a mafis parsa. So it's also bachil. And we don't paskin like Reb Shimon. We paskin like the chachamim that it's mutter. So why is it mutter? This animal itself doesn't have simanim, but it has a tradition. It's a vlad from a shor and a para. So its parents have, and its grandparents have, and the great-grandparents, all the way back to Sheshes Mebreishes, so that's considered good enough. According to the Chachamim, that's good enough. It doesn't have to have its own simonim. If it has simonim from its parents and its grandparents all the way back, that's also called the Behemoth simonim in its kosher. What would the Rabbanan say if it would be the reverse? Gomel, 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 all the way back till Sheshes Mebreishes, and then a mutation occurs and it's a par. It looks 100% like a cow. The vlad looks 100% like a kosher cow. With simonim, malagir mafis parsa. So the Gemara says that it's also bachil. So the Pesachim Shuv in Yeridei in three different places quotes from a sefer Yad Eliyahu, from one of the Acharonim, that he's not sure why the animal is also bachil. Do the Chachamim? See, Reb Shimon holds that each animal is judged on its own merit. This animal that you want to eat has to have malager mafis parsa. If this is a gomel, even though it's a vlad of a par and a para, it's also bachil. It doesn't have malager mafis parsa. And Rabbana disagree. If it has simonim, birusha from its parents is good enough. So what would they say when you have a gomel, gomel, gomel all the way down, and now this one has... This one, the vlad is 100% looks, has all the simanim, malagir, mafis, parsa. Would they say, the rabbanan say, you always ignore the simanim of this particular animal? The determination of whether any given animal is a behemotor, behemot meah, depends on the min. The min depends on the parents, grandparents, great grandparents, all the way back. Mali, that this one happens to have malagir, mafis, parsa, but all the way back to sheshes, mei bereishes, we don't know, we don't have records, but to the best of our knowledge, all the way back, it was a gomel. It was a gomel. So this animal is mamash a gomel. If you shecht and need it, you'll get malchus. It's mamash a gomel. Or maybe no. Maybe the Rabbana, the Reb Shimon, say it's either or. Either it has its own simonim. They always go lekula, lehakel. Reb Shimon is machma, gomel ben par, kolad ben par is also machma. The Rabbana and make on both directions, either direction. Either it has its own simonim and it should be kosher, or it has simonim from the parents. If it has its own simanim, it should really be a behemot Torah. So why does it say you're not allowed to eat? No, you're not allowed to eat it because it's a yotzei min hatamei tamei. Because the mother and the father are both gemalim. So since it's a vlad, it's not a zev as a garim. It's a zev as a garim. They're both asim. They're both garim and marasa. The father and the mother are both gemalim. So the vlad for sure is asa b'achila. But maybe it's not a behemot tamei. Maybe it's a behemot Torah, which is a yotzei min ha'asim. So the main afkeminas, according to the Rambam, so the Pesachim Tshuva quotes at three places in the Yerideim. And again, the three din. So one din is, would there be malchus or not? Yeah, so not nageb is manazeh. According to the Rambam, that if you eat a yotze min atame, if you drink challah behemot tameyo, or you eat beitza saif tame, there's no malchus. So what if you would eat that animal, you would shecht it, you would eat it. If you don't shecht it, you just shoot it. So it's an avela. Of course you're going to have malchus. But if he does shechta, do you say that it's not nitfas and shechita? It's basically a gomel. It's a mutation of a gomel. It's a gomel through and through. And if you eat it, you get malchus for eating a gomel. Or should you say no? Basically, it's you go the kula either direction. Either has its own simonim, or if it has simonim from the parents, it's also good. Here, it has its own simonim. The reason why it's also because it's yoytzim and ha'asar asa. So then, according to the Raman, there wouldn't be any malchus. So that's one place in Yerideya, the Pischa Tshuva quotes this Yad Aliyah over there. Then he quotes in another place, one place that's very relevant, Hilcha Sefer Torah. You can't write Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah on Orbe Metohoyra. What if you have hide that was converted into parchment from an animal, which is a trefa, a kosher animal, but when you shechted it, or it died a natural death, it's an avela trefa. So the Gemara said, that's okay. It's even good lachatchila, there's nothing wrong. You can write lachatchila, Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah, an or behema nevela utrefa, provided that it's a behema tahora, should be a kosher animal. So here the Pischa Tshuva quotes the suffix. What about this animal, this para, who was born? It's a mutation of a para, but all of its ancestors, all the way back to the best of our knowledge, are gemalim. Do I declare that this para is really a gomel? So it's or the or behema tmeya, the hide cannot, may not be used for writing Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah l'vipasal. But you say, no, it's basically a behema Torah, has its own simonim, but you're not allowed to eat it because it's yotzim and atame. If it's only anisa, yotzim and atame, so it's a behema Torah, which you're not allowed to eat. So it's loy gora from nevela trefa, that the Gemara says, as long as it's a behema Torah, the min is a min tahor. Are you not allowed to eat the flesh? So what? The flesh is also, so what? You're not using the flesh. You're using the hide of the animal. So the hide is not a problem. That was a big issue. That was a big issue in Achreinim. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. They used to use shellac to make the batim perfectly square. So they used to. So a lot of times the batim have to be ravua, they have to be square. So they used to shmir on a lot of shmirach, heavy, thick stuff, to make everything square. So the poskim, the Mishkan, the Sanhedrin said that's not right. The leather has to be square. It doesn't help that you're going to smear on a lot of paint and you'll add a little extra here and take a little off over here. You have to make that the leather should be square. So that's not right. You have to make sure that the leather is square. That's number one. Okay. But then they want it to shine. It should look sparkling. It should look pretty. Hider mitzvah. So they use this shellac not to be mashlim the square. That would be a paslus, but that it should shine. So shellac is an excretion from some kind of bugs that live in the trees. Some kind of shrotzim, some insect. That's clearly also b'achila. So the shayla is whether the shellac is decha yotzim min ha'asav. So l'chor, the shellac yotzim min ha'asav is also b'achila. So is there a din that you're not allowed to use anything? It's like, just like you have to use parchment from a kosher animal, because it has to be meramuta b'ficha, so too, he can't use this shellac that's an excretion from an insect because it's yotzim and ha'aser asar. But he's saying, no, yotzim and ha'aser is not included in this din. So the Pischa Tshuva assumes a double portion. Pischa Tshuva, the whole chakira that the quotes from the Yad Eliyahu was about a pora that was born to a family, a descendant of Gemalim, is it really a gomel, so it's a behema tmeya, or is it a behema Torah because it has its own simonim? It's a behema Torah, but it's also b'achila because of yotzim. So his premise is that if it's only an Isra of Yotze, it would be good. There wouldn't be a problem in Amuta Befir. It has to be a Mintor. Chazusa Milsa is also an issue. If you hold Chazusa Lav Milsa, that's an issue that Nadi Behuda raised. Nadi Behuda has a discussion regarding the Chalazon. If the Chalazon are kosher, he didn't know what it was. He's still not sure exactly what it is. So the people who claim that they found the Chalazon, the Radzina Rebbe claimed that he found the Chalazon, and now they have others, they claim that they found the Chalazon. So all of the Chalazonis that they're using, all those are using trailers from these Chalazonis, they're all non-kosher fish. So the Nadi Behuda writes he's not sure about that. And then Nadi Behuda's son has a long Arichas also about this. In Europe, someone put out an Orach. The Orach is a dictionary written by Rabbeinu Nosson and Reumann, the contemporary of Rashi. So they put out an edition in Europe with long footnotes in German. So there's a long footnote written by the Nadi Behuda's son on the Aruch on this topic. And the Nadi Behuda has a little bit about it. Do we have to assume that the chalazon has to be a kosher fish, kosher sea animal? Otherwise, how can you use the tchelos from that for tzitzis or for big day kuna? Or perhaps it's not a problem. Perhaps even if it's not kosher, maybe there's no problem. So he relates it to the Gemara later in Baba Kama. The Gemara has a discussion. The Gemara has a speka d'dina. But you say, chazusa milsehi, chazusa la milsehi. If you dyed something with a coloring, you say the color is absorbed in the item, so I treat it as if the color doesn't exist. See, if you paint it on a coating, a black coating on top, you can peel off the whole black coating. So that's not a shot of chazusa. Mm-hmm. That's mamish b'yen. The Gemara's discussion of chazusa is, here the coloring in my jacket, the coloring is absorbed in the jacket. You can't scrape it off. If you scrape it off, you rip the whole jacket off. So then the Gemara's a shayla, the coloring is absorbed in the sweater. That's what the Gemara's talking about. You say chazusa milsehi, I treat it as if it's bien. We treat the color as if it's not bien. But the way they do now, they paint the black on the surface, and sometimes it chips off or peels off. So it falls off. So that's not a shal chazusa. Of course it's bien. It's on the surface. So they're discussing. Now the Yehuda is discussing. Someone's gonna paint the tefillin with a paint that's not kosher. So if you say chazusa la milsehi, it's treated as if it weren't bien. So that's not considered that he used behemoth tameya for sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah. If you write on parchment from a behemoth tameya, so the parchment is parchment, or are you making batim from or behemoth tameya? So the batim are bien, but if it's the dye that comes from the behemoth tameya, so that he considers as a nibayid loiv sheet and the gemara and we're machma with respect to dinam deraisa we're machma with respect to dinam derabbanim and mekel and the gemara is nibayid loiv sheet about the chazus and milsehi on that. Okay, so Belinetta, tomorrow we have to finish off this topic. This last topic about the kashrus of the animal. Even those that disagree with Reb Yeshua, who disagrees with Reb Shimon, who's the machloikis, Reb Shimon holds gomol gomol, kol ben parizasa. We don't pass like that, but still there are cases where we do asa. So what are the cases where we asa and why do we asa? So it's a big machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos. So we'll have to continue tomorrow.